Hello and welcome once again. This is Mike Moody with our Bible study, and we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. As usual, we'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, again, we bow in thy presence. We would look at thy word today and desire to glean from it. We ask that those listening would as well be benefited from thy word. Father, we pray that we would be either exhorted or challenged or comforted from thy word today. And Father, if there be those that need the Lord Jesus as their Savior today, they're listening, that you might work in their heart, that you may show them their great need of a Savior, this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so in his name we do pray again. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you recall, we read the first 5 verses as we're looking at the chapter that speaks of the further development of this assembly of the Thessalonians. Chapter 1, we had looked at the testimony of these Christians. Chapter 2, we looked at the beginning or the background of this assembly with Acts 17. And now in chapter 3, the further development. You might recall that this book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians deal greatly with the coming of the Lord. And so as we remember, the title, as it were, for our study in 1 Thessalonians is, how are we living in view of his coming? If the Lord could come any moment, his imminent return, based on what we see throughout the tenor of Scripture, then how are we living in view of his coming? If we're unsaved today, listening to this message, and we realize the Lord could come, you know, that is of utmost importance, that you know him now before it's eternally too late. And for us that are saved, that know the Lord Jesus Christ, saved by his grace, because we've agreed with God, we've confessed our sins, and acknowledged with a heart of repentance that we need Christ as the only satisfactory payment for our sins, his shed blood on the cross of Calvary paid for our sins. For us that are saved, how are we living? Are we living in a sanctified, holy manner? As we come into chapter 4 in the future, Lord willing, that is brought before us. Sanctification, holiness, in view of the Lord's return. But as we move on into chapter 3, and I'd like to pick back up at verse 4, verse 3, verse 2 had mentioned that the purpose that Paul had sent Timothy back there to find out how they were doing was that they might be established and comforted. And then in verse 3 of chapter 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Now, what does this mean? Paul was appointed. Often he would use the word know, you know, to these believers of the Thessalonians. You know that we are appointed unto. For this, we go back to the book of Acts and chapter 9, where we find the conversion of the one Saul of Tarsus, known now as Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, of course, the familiar text of when Paul was seeking to gather up the Christians and to see them persecuted or imprisoned or even killed, and the Lord blinded him on that road to Damascus. And in that encounter, we see that Paul realized, Saul of Tarsus at that time, realized that if a voice came down from heaven, it must be the Lord. And he said, Lord, who art thou? And the answer was, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And so the encounter was there. He understood and believed that he had been persecuting the very Savior in his zeal, thinking he was doing God's service, this Hebrew of the Hebrews, this Benjamite, this one Saul, that he needed the Savior. And so as the Lord dealt with him there in Acts chapter 9, we pick up as he went on and spoke to this one Ananias, verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, Paul, or Saul at that time, for Saul is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, and I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Oh, yes. Can you imagine? He had just come to know the Lord Jesus in a personal way, and it's made known that the Lord would show him what things, great things, he would suffer for him. You know, being called as the last appointed apostle was not a light thing. And not just being an apostle, you know, you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. The scripture tells us that, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul told Timothy that. And so, if we're looking to live for the Lord, as in the one of the letters by Peter, by the Spirit of God, spoke about how there is much suffering, 1 Peter, in those five chapters. And yet he spoke about how if we suffer for our own fault, well, that's one thing. But if we suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, happy are ye. And so not just Paul would endure sufferings and persecution, but it's our character before us being this one Paul. This is what he's saying when he wrote to them, the Thessalonians, back in our text of chapter 3. He was speaking about how they knew that he had been appointed unto these sufferings and the afflictions and the opposition that they had seen there of those that were unbelievers. And so we might find that opposition. It's amazing here in the United States, we generally don't have the level of persecution as some in other countries do. But there's growing opposition. And depending upon how willing we are to speak forth the Word of God and to share the gospel and to live in a holy manner, you know, you and I can suffer persecution too. It comes in different forms. But are we willing to see the Lord exalted and perhaps be a witness to those that are lost? So in our text of 1 Thessalonians 3, we pick up now in verse 4, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. So he carries along this thought about suffering. For this cause, when I can no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, that is Satan, hath tempted you, and our labor be in vain. And so we considered that in our last study, that he was really concerned that Satan had not put a halt to the work there and had burdened them down. And so he's learning from Timothy how they're getting along. Verse 6, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand in the Lord, stand fast in the Lord. Ah, yes. Timothy returns, we see in verses 6 to 8. And a mutual desire between the saints there of the Thessalonians and Paul to see one another. He mentions there in verse 6, your faith and love. In verse 7, Paul mentions how they were comforted. And then it's kind of brought to a climax when he says, we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. Oh, we can see the mutual fellowship between the saints that had receive the word from this brother Paul and from this one writing, the dear Apostle Paul. And so as we think of continuing verse 9 to 11, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And so here we see Paul's joy. joy in the things of the Lord and His people, and the desire to see them face to face and to see them mature, that is, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith, verse 10. And He said He was willing to do whatever it took. We consider that also in chapter 2, that He did not want to be a burden to them, but He would work night and day, do whatever it took. As we look at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, if we were just reading these two books together, you'd notice that He continually comes back to this, being willing to work and to not be a burden to them, and He exhorts them not to be busybody or to be lazy, but He said, "Your imitators are followers of us. We've been examples to you to be steadfast in the things of the Lord." And so He was a good example, Him and Silvanus and Timothy, and He expresses that, their desire that they would be perfected. You know, the word perfect often carries the meaning to be matured. He's not saying He desires that they'd be sinlessly perfect in the sense that we understand that we have a sin nature and that we are not going to be sinless on this side of glory until we have our new bodies. But yet the desire is to move forward and to grow and to seek Christ and to shun the things of this world. And so that they might be perfected or matured in the things of the Lord. Are we maturing? Are we growing in the things of the Lord? Or are we still, as it were, on the milk of the Word? With this, let's look to our Lord in prayer. Father, thank You again for this opportunity in Thy Word. We pray, asking for Your guidance. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for being with us. If you have any questions or concerns, please call us at 824-5525 or write us at P.O. Box 1259, Ramsour, North Carolina, zip code 27316. Our requests for tapes are free. Join us next time at 1 o'clock with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.